Episode 122. Everybody, my name is Randy Cantrell. I'm coming to you from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, home of the Yellow Studio. BulaNetwork.com is the website. The current tagline, where business building and new media intersect. I'm not saying it's a great tagline, but it's the current tagline. I don't know if you're like me. My tagline has gone through countless iterations, and it will probably continue to do that. But that's how it stands right now as we hit the record button Thursday, March the 22nd, 2012. Hope things are going well for you, and a little bit of housekeeping up front. Our last episode was a relatively short episode, 15 minutes or so, and we asked for some feedback. Thank you to all of you who have given feedback, and the feedback is continuing to come in. And so far, I've been pleasantly pleased, and on another hand, I've been somewhat disappointed. I've been disappointed that I frankly was expecting, I don't know. I was expecting a more significant amount of negative feedback. That is, I was expecting people to say, it's, you talk too much. You need to shut up. We don't need this much stuff. I didn't get any of that. I got some people that the overwhelming majority have said, yeah, stick with video. I don't know why that surprised me, but it sort of did. And nobody took me to task yet, knock on wood. Nobody took me to task on the length of the videos. And they range. I'm not a guy who's sitting here trying to pigeonhole everything into a formula. I would say right now the consensus is two or three videos a week and a podcast a week. So far, no one has said that a single podcast a week is too much, nor has anybody said it's not enough. So that's kind of a good thing. So far, it seems that most everybody understands that I really don't consider myself a blogger. And so far, I've got nobody. I don't think, I don't think I've had a single person who has said, more blog posts, please. The consensus has been yes, video. And the consensus so far has been do more video than audio. A single audio podcast a week is sufficient. So anyway, continue to give me your feedback. If you have not yet listened to episode 121, it's only 15, it's a little over 15 minutes. So just go to episode 121. The date was March the 16th, 2012. And listen to that. I do put in the show notes kind of the questions, and thank you. Thank you to all of you who have given me your feedback and continue to give me your feedback. I will try to make whatever adjustments are necessary. I jokingly did say at the end of it, maybe it's just time to stop it. And I freely said in the show, that's not going to happen. And a few people commented, no, don't stop. I tell you something else that was kind of surprising to me, and this wasn't a uniform feedback, but there were a number of people who commented about my my contrarian approach, and I don't feel like I wouldn't label myself as a contrarian. Maybe you see me that. Well, clearly some of you do see me that way. And I guess depending on what circles you you travel in and you look at, I was having a conversation with somebody the other day about social media, a business person, and we were talking about, well, what got us talking about it was Google circles and the number of circles that people might have. And the inquiry was, you know, I wonder how many circles the average person has. I said, I have no idea. I couldn't even tell you how many circles I have created. And it launched us into this conversation about the different, kind of the different groups of people. And in the same conversation, I had commented that it's funny to me, if I tweet, I'm a hockey guy. So if I tweet about hockey, you can just mark it down. I'm going to gain some people on Twitter and I'm going to lose others. It's just kind of interesting to me. There are all kinds of people that tweet a variety of things that I have no interest in. And if I see a tweet of something that doesn't interest me, I just glance over it. I don't unfollow them. Maybe I should. And I was commenting to him, it seemed interesting to me that a certain circle of people, if you don't stay on point with them, they bail out on you. And we were talking about how our friends, we can engage in conversation with our friends about a variety of things, and we're not on the edge of our seat about everything that they talk about. I mean, it's pretty rare for even close friends to just see so eye to eye and have their taste just run so parallel that every conversation is engaging. Every conversation is riveting, because I've had friends that were into a variety of different hobbies that I didn't care one thing about, but I wasn't put off by having them talk about it. I could engage them in a conversation. Now, I didn't want to engage them in a long conversation, and I didn't want to engage them in a conversation about it every time we talked, but I don't know. It's just, it's all rather interesting to me, and how we perceive each other. And I think some of that is based on kind of circle of friends, circle of influence. Somebody had written a blog post recently. I can't remember who, or I would give attribution, about how they saw somebody that they followed in social media, and they saw them at some live event. And it was, you know, hey, and he called them by first name, only to realize, you know, this person has no idea who I am. I pay attention to them and I know who they are, but they have no idea who I am. And hell, welcome to the digital world. That's kind of the world that we are in. So I think whether or not I'm viewed as a contrarian is probably largely dependent on the people that are in your social media circle. There is little doubt that there's a group of people. I know a number of groups of people that I would describe as ridiculously positive people. These are people that nothing controversial, nothing terribly opinionated. Everything is great and wonderful, and every tweet, every encounter in social media is one of attaboys and, you know, rah rah sis boom bah kind of people. I would not describe myself as the eternal optimist, but I'm not an eternal pessimist either. I would probably lean more toward optimism than I do pessimism, but I'm not, I don't just run around seeing bunny rabbits and rainbows everywhere. And there are some people who, at least they behave that way. I don't know. It just rather makes me sickening. Tim Tebow, by all accounts, is a great guy, and I don't have anything against him. But did you listen to the conference call after he was traded to the Jets by the Denver Broncos? There was a conference call, an audio conference call done with reporters. I was looking around the yellow studio. I knew somewhere I had hidden. I couldn't find it. I knew I had one of those vomit bags that the airlines give you. I don't know. I took one for a gag or something. No pun intended. I was looking for it. And thankfully, I had a trash can nearby. And it was just, you know, I just want to go help the team. And I want to be a good teammate. I want to do whatever I can. I'm so looking forward to the opportunity. I was just... I'm not saying that he is not genuine. Genuinely nauseating, you know, for me, but I'm an old guy, you know, he's a kid and by all accounts, he's a really good kid and I hats off to him, but boy, I'm sorry. I can't go through life being all that chipper. I'm happy for him though. I'm happy that he has the opportunity to go play for the Jets and Rex Ryan, who I think is a quite entertaining and funny coach, but I can imagine that Tim is probably going to sit in that first meeting. And after he hears, you know, the language spewing forth from the coach, he's probably going to want to hide under his chair. So no, I'm not that guy. So yeah, I guess I am a contrarian. Some of the other feedback was rather interesting. I got more feedback than I thought I would about some of the things that are discussed here in the land of Bula. And there's a number of them. A lot of commentary about sales stuff, and thank you for that. And a number of people who I was quite pleased who told me that they use some of the thoughts and ideas that I have, even in their sales meetings and their organizations. That's great for me to hear. I hope it's helpful. Other people who commented about just personal development stuff in general, which is easy for me to wax on and on about because I'm old and I'm still trying to develop my personal self. And then there were some people who commented about my riffing on internet marketing. And lest I offend, I have friends, I have acquaintances and other people that I'm rather fond of who are in the space. So I'm not going to get this huge blanket and dip it in a, you know, 10-gallon jug or bucket of water and then throw it on you. But by and large, I find internet marketing as a space, I find it just nauseating. About as nauseating as Tim Tebow. And for good reason. And so part of what I want to do in this beginning, in this housekeeping phase here of today's show, and I'm not going to wax on too terribly long, but, this is a subject that I could. Internet marketing. I may do a show on that one of these days. I set about within the last decade to really dive into that space, not because I wanted to be in it, but I wanted to understand it. And it really began with a complete misunderstanding of that space. It began with me because I'm a marketing and sales kind of guy. And I kept seeing that phrase, internet marketing, and, you know, dumb me, I'm thinking, okay, internet marketing, that's using the internet for marketing. Great, I'm in. My hand's in the air. I want to know more about this. It didn't take me long at all to understand. I didn't have it right at all. I was completely misled. It's a biz op game. It is a business opportunity. You remember there were magazines on newsstands back in the day, and they were kind of income. In fact, I think one was named Income Opportunities. And these were, you know, just page after page after page of a variety of different, you know, hey, you can, for $100, you can start this business at your kitchen table. And we traditionally over the decades have referred to that sector of commerce as biz op. It's ancient. And now come the internet and, well, we've got biz op on the internet. Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that's what it was. I didn't know that internet marketing by and large, at least when I started studying it, and I don't think much has changed, that it by and large was, hey, we'll teach you how to make money on the internet. And some of the more unscrupulous guys and gals, we'll teach you how to be rich. You know, we'll teach you how to make a lot of money on the internet. When I began just a couple of years ago, I heard from quite a few people, and I heard just, you know, I don't know, they were just sad stories. And by that point, I had already been, I don't know, I had invested a good 3 years and way too much money figuring out, okay, what are these guys doing? What is this business? What is this internet marketing stuff? And again, I wasn't coming from a vantage point of I wanted to be in that space. I thought, well, I want to see how people are using the internet to market. Well, it turns out that I ended up finding that out. Because frankly, I can tell you, you can learn a lot more from most internet marketers by watching them and watching how they behave and watching how they market than you'll ever get by sending them money. I mean, I just tell you flat out. And yes, I freely confess, I spent some money. I set aside some money. Thankfully, I had it to lose because that's exactly what happened. I mean, I'll say it. None of it was worth it. None of it was worth the price tag. And I'm talking, I bought some name stuff by some major name people. Yes, those $1,997 things, yes, I freely confess, been there, done that. Absolutely worthless. I mean, completely, utterly, well, might have been worth 10 bucks. But watching how they behaved and watching the way that they marketed and watching the way that they launched, yeah, priceless, priceless. Now, do I do any of that stuff? No, but it was good education. So in that respect, it was worth it. So now fast forward, and I've spent about 3 years and too much money, and that's all in the rearview mirror. And now fast forward a couple of years, maybe three, and now, you know, I'm 6 years removed from the beginning of that education. And now, you know, I launched the podcast and I start getting some feedback. And some of the feedback, very early feedback that I got were from some people who had been duped by the internet marketing crowd. And of course, by then the economy was beginning, you know, the economy had gone south. And so you're talking about some people who had lost jobs, other people who were scared to death that they were going to lose their job, other people who had businesses that were viable businesses 12 to 24 months earlier, but had just been devastated because, you know, their customer base had eroded, circumstances and situations in their industry may have changed, you know, all brought about by this horrible economy. And so many people had looked at the internet as being this panacea. And man alive, if there is a siren call, and there is, it is the internet, because everybody can appreciate the scope and scale of the internet. I mean, we look at it and we just see the vastness of it, and the sheer vastness of it all is very intriguing. It's very enticing, and it makes us think, well, yeah, there's got to be a way that I can make a buck on the internet. And that's going to be the answer to the problems. I can't tell you how many brick and mortar kind of businesses that I have talked to over the course of the last 2 to 3 years, especially, who have thought social media, that will be the saving of my business. And yes, you've got some name people, and no, I'm not going to name them. I don't care to have that trouble, but I could, and you know who they are, who could come in and tell a company, yes, you be on Facebook and you do this and you do that, and go to any social media site and they're going to be experts. LinkedIn has its experts. YouTube has its experts. Twitter has its experts. Facebook has its experts. Pinterest, as new as Pinterest is, Pinterest now has Pinterest experts, people that will tell you Pinterest is great for your business, and I'm not denying that any or all of these vehicles can't be great for your business. But there's a huge problem, and that is that this whole notion that for our careers or for our business, there's this panacea, and that panacea is the internet, something to do with the internet, something to do with online. Now, thankfully, over the last couple of years, I have noticed in the internet marketing space a pretty big slowdown. I mean, a pretty big slowdown. I have no statistical proof of anything necessarily because I stopped studying it a long, long time ago. But I've stayed on some lists, and some of these cats that were, you know, huge names, and there's been a variety of fallout, by the way, thanks to the Federal Trade Commission. There have been a number of people who've lost a lot of assets, personal assets and business assets. A number of people who have been threatened with all kinds of criminal charges. And, you know, that may have forced some of these cats to lay a little bit low. But then there's another component and another crowd that have gotten very involved in what we would say are kind of more traditional mainstream kind of characters, the Tony Robbins of the world, the Brian Tracys of the world. And these fellas have become, there are some internet marketers who have grown to be quite chummy with those guys. I'm not putting those guys in a category, by the way, but those are mainstream guys with big mainstream businesses. And there have been a number of internet marketers who have associated themselves with those guys as they have tried to broaden their appeal and their approach. Now, I'm going to tell you to go back and let's see if I can find it here, because I've been thinking very, very seriously of doing a show really focused on this whole gold rush kind of a thing. I'll put it in the show notes because I can't quite remember when I did this, but I had this epiphany, and the epiphany was something I discovered while watching the show Gold Rush. Gold Rush. You've seen this show? I don't know if it's on A&E or Discovery. It's on one of those. Anyway, pretty good show. I think this season it's over. And I did a video, as I recall, and the video that I did, primarily, I wanted to talk about how in the gold rush, in the California gold rush, there was more money made by the fella that sold the picks and the shovels than there was by the people who were mining or digging for gold. And it dawned on me when I began to see on that show, Gold Rush, how hard these guys were working for just an ounce of gold, which I think, yeah, I don't know. I mean, an ounce of gold is $1,600, maybe. Not really sure. Something like that. $1,600. And working their tails off. And no matter how hard they worked, there was one thing that they really had to have in order to be successful at gold mining. One thing. Gold. Yeah, seems obvious, right? You know, but if you don't have gold, it doesn't quite matter how great your pick or shovel is. And it doesn't matter how great you are at operating a pick or a shovel. If there's not gold in the dirt that you're digging, well, no gold. And boy, it just resonated with me that's how so much is happening with internet marketing. And these people who want to, yes, they want to show you their PayPal account. I mean, you got a variety of people in the internet space who come out and some of these guys will tell you every month, here's what they do. And I'm not saying that they're not that they're not honest about it. But do I have doubts? Yeah, I got doubts. You kidding me? I mean, come on. In this day and age of Photoshop, we're to believe that somebody who throws up a JPEG of some screenshot of their PayPal account or their merchant account, and it shows gazillions of dollars. And are people swayed by that? Absolutely, they're swayed by that. But people are swayed by Photoshopped photographs. People are swayed by fake videos. Now, I know it's, listen, we can all sit here and talk about how sophisticated people are. Let me tell you, people are idiots. People are idiots. People are morons. People believe stuff. People are gullible. They just are. And by and large, what you see, listen, all I got to do, I've said it before, I'll continue to use it as an example until it's no longer in pop culture. And that may be for a while. I got one name to give you, two words, Lady Gaga. Most followed person in social media. So if you want to get on a high horse and tell me that people aren't lemmings, my answer, my retort to you is going to be Lady Gaga. Now, I'm not saying Lady Gaga doesn't have talent, by the way. But before she was Lady Gaga, she wasn't anything. So she figured it out. She absolutely, positively figured it out. You know what? People like shtick. And if you don't think Lady Gaga is laughing all the way to the bank, well, I'm not a betting man, but if I were, I'd bet you a dollar to a donut she's laughing hard all the way to the bank. Am I bothered by that? No, I'm not bothered by that. I'm really not. It's bothersome that people are that gullible. It's only bothersome to me if people go, well, I can't believe that you don't like her. Well, believe it and get over it. I don't. I don't own a Lady Gaga tune. And I don't plan on owning one anytime soon. I haven't bought an internet marketing product in years. I don't plan on buying one soon. Now, there are some cats out there that he's profane, but he is pretty funny. Salty Droid. Go to saltydroid.org, and you'll see a cat he's an attorney, but it's funny. I mean, yes, he's foul and he's profane, but he just lambasts internet marketing. Now, there is a segment of internet marketing that I think is, I do, and it's probably because I'm a sales guy, so I freely admit the bias, called affiliate marketing. And I know some people that I believe are pretty good people based on what I know. I like them. I know them, at least in internet language, I know them, and I trust them. And they are pretty heavily involved in affiliate marketing. Think of affiliate marketing as nothing more than an internet online commission salesperson. You don't have to buy their stuff. You don't have to buy stuff through them. But, you know, if they talk about something, if for instance, there was some product out there and they did a video and they reviewed it and did a blog post about it, and in that blog post, they put a link to where you could buy it, and they fully disclosed, hey, this is an affiliate link. You click this and buy it, I'm going to make something. I don't have a problem with that. Now, I know people who do. I know people who, even if somebody puts you onto it, he could make a dime off of me, they're going to bypass it. Even though they don't pay a dime more for it, by buying it through his link, they just won't do it. I know people like that. Well, no skin off your nose. You know, this person did a video. They wrote a blog post. They told me about it. I had no idea this thing was even out there. This is cool. I kind of like this. And I kind of like the guy who did the review. I kind of trust this person. If he says it's worth buying, I'm kind of, until he violates that trust, I'm kind of going with it. I have no problem clicking a link on that guy's post if I'm going to buy it, and he makes a few bucks. Hooray for him. But, you know, I'm very pro sales. I just am. I'm a marketing sales guy, so I'm pro sales. Now, there are scammy sites out there that hose people, because what they do is they posture themselves as being these review sites. And many affiliate marketing programs, it's a violation of the terms of the affiliate relationship. And Google increasingly is slapping these things down, thankfully. But there have been countless sites that were put up as review sites. They're not review sites. It's a sham. It's just a sham. They write a post and they review anything and everything out there that they've got an affiliate relationship with, and they're just trying to get some Google juice and drive traffic and make people think that they are some, you know, objective review site in hopes that you'll click buy and they make a commission. Completely opposed to those. Completely opposed to those. And the people that I happen to know that are in affiliate marketing, that they would not do that. It's just not how they roll. But boy, let me show you how you can get rich. Let me show you how you can drive traffic. Let me show you how you can do this and you can do that and you can be rich in the internet marketing space. Nah, I don't have any patience for it. I'm very opposed to it. I would tell you, keep your money in your pocket, close up your PayPal account, because here's what you're doing. You're overpaying. You're buying a high dollar pick and shovel when the first thing you really need to do is you need to figure out if there's gold. And if there's gold, okay, then. And for the sake of this conversation, and let's wrap this thing up. For the sake of this conversation, the pick and shovel represent those tools, those online tools. Think of a pick and shovel. It could be anything from SEO to pay-per-click to keyword research to all these different kinds of work that we think, well, if we only knew that, you know, I don't know how to do that, so I'm gonna buy this high dollar thing or that high dollar thing or maybe this moderately priced ebook or whatever, and I'm gonna learn how to do that. No, I'm telling you my advice to you, and I speak from experience because I've looked at their product. I've seen the $1,997 products. I've seen the $400 products. I've seen the $97 products. I'm going to tell you, most of them are not worth a dime. The best ones are probably not worth more than a hardcover book. That's just fact. Because you do realize that $1,997 product, the affiliate is getting half. Well, they just are. So there is that. I mean, there's a reason that these prices went crazy high, because now, you kidding me? A guy can make $900 to $1,000 by selling a $2,000 thing, and all I got to do is I got to email my list and I got to tell my list, hey man, you need to be jumping all over this. This thing is coming out and it's going to be for a limited time, and you get in now. And person after person after person. And here's the thing. All they have to do for social proof is just have a few people that happen to hit gold. And it, statistically, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, a blind pig finds one every now and then. And when they hear those stories, boy, they're going to latch onto that. And that's the story you're going to hear. You're going to hear about the guy who was homeless, who was penniless, and he just, you know, stole his mother's credit card and got the program as a last-ditch effort to save himself and was wildly successful. That's the story you're going to hear. Might it be true? Yeah, maybe. Assume that it's true. What you don't hear is you don't hear about the thousands of other people who lost their shirt. And now they're penniless. And now they're homeless. Why? Well, because they went $2,000 in debt buying this trash. Save your money. When it comes to career and business, I'm going to tell you right now, it's about the opportunity. If the gold is represented by the opportunity, And I'm not talking about pie in the sky. I'm not talking about bunnies and rainbows. I'm talking about a real opportunity. You're far better off in trying to close all the distractions and see if you can get your head wrapped around where might my best opportunity be. And when we're talking about opportunities, I personally am not talking about opportunity of a lifetime. I'm not talking about the opportunity to be a millionaire. I mean, there are a lot of people out there, and the goal is to be a millionaire. Be a millionaire. Be a millionaire. Okay. Hooray for you. I mean, if that's what you want to do, if that's how you want to, if you want to devote your life to being a millionaire, I got a newsflash for you. The minute you get it, it's not going to be enough. So prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for a life full of discontentment. Because 1 million ain't going to be enough. Book it. It's not going to be enough. So just prepare yourself for constant discontentment. And you got to see an opportunity that is your best opportunity from where you are right now. And the opportunity that might be right in front of you may be very different. It may be very different than the opportunity that you'll have in front of you a year from now. Don't get ahead of yourself. What's the opportunity that's right within arm's reach? Yeah, okay, maybe you have to stretch really hard to get it. But what is that opportunity? If I can help you see that opportunity, I think that's where I'm headed. That's where I'm hopeful that my benefit can come into play. Okay, if I can be a voice of reason, or by some accounts maybe a voice of unreason, so be it. Save your money when it comes to these kinds of scam artists and charlatans, and just look for real opportunities, because they're there. And what you don't know, you don't have to learn everything overnight. There are a number of people that I do happen to know in the internet marketing space who will tell you, when it comes to even buying information, quote unquote, products, don't buy something that you don't need right now. But boy, that's what people do. I want to find gold. Well, I can't find gold if I don't buy the best shovel. I can't find gold if I don't buy the nicest pickaxe. I can't find gold if I don't go buy the nicest panning equipment. They haven't even gone out looking for gold yet. They think they have to have all these tools and they got to be proficient at all these tools. You know, it's kind of backwards. There's a fella on Gold Rush, and he's not part of the show, but they've gone to his place a couple of times. Crazy, insane, successful. I mean, just crazy, insane, successful. And he scoffs. He scoffs at these guys that are, you know, I just have a feeling. I mean, the Hoffman family. I just have a feeling there's gold here. Well, how many people do you know? How many people have I talked to? I can't count how many people I've talked to in the course of the last couple of years. I feel like this is what I'm meant to do. I feel like this is going to be good. This is going to work out. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. People do it. You hear people talk about that on the internet all the time. I just feel it. I'm feeling it. Well, more often than not, what you might be feeling is you might be feeling a virus coming on, you know, a fever, a stomach ache. Yeah, I get those feelings. You can't trust a feeling? Come on. Oh, but they just feel it. Now, this cat who's wildly successful, and he looks like a caveman. He drills. He doesn't dig anywhere without paying some guy who drills about a 4-inch diameter hole straight down as deep as they can go so he can find out if there's gold, how deep is it? How hard is it going to be for me to get to it? And if he gets great results from a test drill, he goes for it. But if the drill contents come back up and there's no gold, he's not sitting there going, well, I don't care what that says. I feel it. I feel like there's gold there. So we're going to dig there anyway. No, that's what all these other cats are doing on the show. It's not what he does. And meanwhile, he's just got ounces and ounces and ounces and ounces of gold. And these other guys, they can work for 2 weeks and not have an ounce. And we look at that, and it just immediately made sense to me. And I thought, yeah, there we go. There we go. I got ahead of myself. I didn't intend on that. But, hey, it's kind of what happens here at BulaNetwork.com. We just kind of go with the flow. I had other notes and things that I was fully prepared to discuss. Tangents, man. It's just tangents, but prompted by your feedback, by the way. So thank you for that. I do appreciate it. And I'll a number of you have inquired, and well, a number of you, thankfully have found value in my take on all of that, probably because too many of you slapped your credit card down or your PayPal account and thought, man, a lie, that wasn't worth it. So I'd like to prevent that. I really would. You know, money is a resource, and it's just, we have to work too hard to get it, to just give it so free willy-nilly to people that where the value just doesn't come back to us. So be careful. Be careful. And I'm saying that to myself as well. And admittedly, I went into it with both eyes open and trying to figure it out. And I earmarked a little bit of money and said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'd never spent that kind of money on something before. And when I got my first one, I remember looking at it and I remember thinking, are you kidding me? I mean, the guy is selling thousands of this? Yeah. Yeah, he was. And I guess he still is. No, I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to name names. I will tell you that I can't count. It'd take two hands. It would take two hands for me to count the products that I've purchased from name brand people. And when I say name brand people, people that are big names in the internet marketing space. And I'm not saying that every information product is a bad thing. I'm not doing that. But I'll tell you right now, the only real part of affiliate marketing that disturbs me is the high price of things. And I do believe that affiliate marketing is the lead driver behind that high price. If I have a $100 item and I'm going to pay my affiliates $50, half, that's one thing. But now if all of a sudden I go up to a $200 price point and I pay my affiliates $100, how many more people do you think I'll get peddling my product? Yeah, exactly. That's how it works. And so when you see something high priced, you can just mark it down. Odds are it's going to be more heavily promoted because it pays more. I don't have a problem with people paying more. I don't have a problem with people earning more. But here's where I do have a problem. It drives the value down. Because come on, there's a lot of things out there that are $100, $200, $300, $400, $500. They're not worth that. They're just not worth that. I'm sorry. They might be worth $50. They might be a value at $100. But at $500, grossly, inordinately overpriced, and they have to make up for it in marketing. It's all trying to pitch you and make you think this is great, this is wonderful, you can't live without it. Yeah, don't fall prey to that. Hey, go back and listen to episode 121 if you haven't already. It's 15 minutes. Send me your feedback. You can email me at results@bulanetwork.com. Audio line 214-736-4406. I didn't intend on carrying on like this, but I did, and as you well know, I don't edit, so you're stuck with it. Episode 122, it's now in the books. My name is Randy Cantrell. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for paying attention to what little I have to say. I hope there's some value. BulaNetwork.com. This is the Yellow Studio.